Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 194 of Getting It Out Podcast. And that's the third time I recorded me saying that, so I hope it worked this time. Anyway, the song you just heard was Kara from Four Stroke Baron. That's off of their new album, Classics. It was released October 1st on Prosthetic Records, and it's very cool. Not just that song, but the whole album. Speaking of cool, the video that goes along with this album, or this song, I'm sorry, is also very cool. But it's weird. Like most things from Four Stroke Baron, they're a very weird band, and usually I don't know what to think, but usually I'm left thinking, that was pretty cool, whether it's things I heard or things I saw. They remind me of a band that would drink a lot of milk, but also rock in some kind of weird way. It'd be like the weird kid in your neighborhood that has the trampoline in the backyard. So you're going to go over there and hang out. And then you're going to watch him do a flip with a twist in it. And you're going to be like, wow, you're a lot more interesting than I thought you were. And then he's going to down a whole gallon of milk right in front of you without puking, because I think that's impossible, but he'll do it. Because he's weird. Just like Four Stroke Baron. And their new album, Classics, out now on Prosthetic Records. Go listen to it. But don't do that right now. You've got other things to do right now. You've got to listen to a podcast. That's why you're here. You came to Getting It Out Podcast to listen to a new episode of Getting It Out Podcast, and that's exactly what this is. So you're going to do that now. And on this episode, I have an interview with Adrian Barnello from Fight Back Mountain. Do you know who they are? You don't? Well, I'll tell you. They're a punk rock band out of St. Louis, Missouri. I think that's the state that St. Louis is in. I feel like it could be St. Louis, Kentucky, but that's not a real place. But maybe it might be. There's a Denver, Pennsylvania right down the street from me. So maybe there is a St. Louis, Kentucky. Who's to say? Probably someone in St. Louis. Kentucky. Not Missouri. Anyway, why don't we get into this episode before I start confusing myself with locations and come up with an alias? Why would I need an alias? I don't know. Let's just keep moving.
Kick it! Make family out of friends! Make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in and out!
Okay, here we are, another episode of the podcast. Let's get to it. Have you ever had a kid? Some of you might have said, yes, in fact, I have a couple. Some of you might have said, I just had one, or I've had one, but it's been a while. Okay, well, I have two at the moment, and that's all I'm ever going to have, but there's a thing that comes along with having kids, and that's other kids. And at first, you get to curate their friendships. You get to decide which kids they hang out with, because it's your friends who also have kids, and it's really easy. But eventually, they start hanging out with other kids, weird kids. And there's nothing exactly that makes them weird other than they're not ones that you handpicked, or they're not ones that you care about in any type of way. Even if I don't particularly like my friend's kids, which I can't think of an instance, but just being a hypothetical here, even if I don't like my friend's kids, I'm going to tolerate them because I like my friend. But eventually, your kids start bringing along kids that you have absolutely zero affiliation with or care for, and you're still supposed to be nice to them. And for some people, that's probably pretty easy. But for me, it's not. And I've found myself being mean to children here and there throughout the years, and I'm a little embarrassed by it, but at the same time, come on now, they are annoying. I had a kid in my house today just asking me all sorts of questions. But then at the end, before he left, he folded the blankets. What am I going to do? That's a pretty good trade-off. But too many questions, for sure. Then there were some other kids. There's always other kids. And they just behave a way that I'm not very fond of. And if it's my kid doing it, I can handle that. I will literally handle that. If it's somebody else's kid, I can't do anything. If it's my friend's kid, I could say, hey, your kid's kind of an asshole, isn't he? And he might be like, yeah, I hate him. And I'll be like, yeah, so do I. And then we'll laugh. But when it's somebody else's kids who you're not friends with, you just have to be around them and watch them do things that you don't like. And you can't say much, but you can. You also can. And sometimes I do. And I don't think I should, but I do. And there's a weird thing, though, now with other people's kids. They're not afraid of parents anymore. When I was a kid, parents were terrifying. Anybody's parents. Grandparents? Disgusting. But other people's parents? Terrifying. Other people's grandparents? Disgusting and terrifying, but for a different reason. Kids these days, they know no fear. It's YouTube, I think. Or it's the Instagrams. But that's not true, because these kids I'm talking about, they're not on it. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird, and I know that I'm going to be one of these back-in-my-day parents, because I already am, and that's really disappointing. You don't want to be that. When you have kids, you don't want to be a back-in-my-day guy. You don't want to be a back-in-my-day mom. You don't want to tell them how it used to be. But it did used to be different, and it was better the way it was when we were around. Right? I don't know. Now I feel like Tucker Carlson. That's bad. Somebody should smack me. Okay. That's enough of me talking for this episode. Let's get into my interview with Adrian Barnello of Fight Back Mountain. Got to give you a little warning before we get into this one. It sounds a little bit off. It does. I noticed this just now while editing it. For some reason, and I can't tell you why, we overlap. Our voices overlap. There must have been a delay through Skype as we were recording, and it recorded it funky. So if it sounds like we're cutting each other off, we really weren't. That's not the way it was happening in real life. It's just I can't figure out how to fix this on the recording. So sorry for the overlap. It sounds like every time it's going to sound like I'm cutting him off when he's answering a question to me. But I promise you, I wasn't. And it was a pleasant conversation. And I'm glad we had it. So I want you to hear it. So here, first, listen to Fatima by Fight Back Mountain. And then check out our interview. No, okay, so hey, I'm glad we finally got to do this. I've been listening. I don't know how I don't know if you guys brought me to your attention or if I found you some other way. I don't remember.
I think you covered Time and Pressure.
Yeah, sounds right.
Who is a St. Louis band that we're buddies with, and I was like, hey, us
yeah.
too. We're a band. I think is what I was doing.
Well, it worked cuz I've been listening to you guys ever since. Yeah, and
cool.
That what was the last record called? Something Beach.
Time's
yeah, I was
Beach.
Say Something Beach. Yeah, and I really liked
Time
that
Beach.
One. And so when you told me you had new stuff coming, I was like, well, hell yeah, let's just do a whole thing. So here we are.
Nice.
So let's go. Let's do some real basic shit with just you. By the way, Adrian, I don't think I mentioned that you are.
Yeah, Adrian Barnard.
And you do what in the band exactly?
So I'm the lead singer. And I play lead guitar.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I didn't.
And notably, I don't write
the
lyrics.
All right.
I just sing.
All right. So you're saying, like, don't blame me. Is that what?
No, I just like to give Angelica credit because Angelica is the rhythm guitar player and she writes the lyrics. And I always like to give her credit for
that.
It's
very, very, very kind of you. So but for you personally, and we'll go way back, what was your introduction to or discovery? Like what made you find, discover, and enjoy punk music?
Well, so I was born in 92, which meant that I got into punk music when I was about 14, 12 to 14. So that would have been 2004 to 2006. So I was big into, and I still am into Green Day. That was my first one. Green Day and Blink-182, the intro stuff
yeah.
for Millennials.
That's, hold on, can I stop you? Because I just think it's really funny, not funny, haha, that you could be 10 years younger and probably say the same bands too. Right? Because
oh, sure.
Dookie was,
yeah.
I forget, 93, 94, something like that. Like, you know, I'm 36 and that was what was like the entry stuff for most people my age then too. So
yeah.
Anyway, good.
Well, it's a good entry point because I mean Green Day's got like three or four like very, very great albums, pretty inarguably great. So that was my first experience with punk rock, and then I got into music by looking up bands on Yahoo Music. So I would go on MySpace and I would hear about a band in a forum, like NoFX
yeah.
or something, and I would look them up on Yahoo Music, which was this horrible streaming service that would only give you shuffles
okay.
based on
yeah.
the artist, kind of like Pandora.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was actually great at the time because I didn't know anything. So I just typed in like Descendants, and then a Descendants song would play, and then a bunch of other songs that kind of sound like Descendants. And that's how I got into bands, is that learning one band and then going after other bands that kind of sound like
Well,
that
you know
band.
What I like about that is that's very, it's not the same, but it's very similar to the old way of getting into it, or the older way of getting into it. Like if you go back 10 years before you, like me, when I really got into punk rock and hardcore and stuff that became formative for me, it was Punk-O-Rama Volume 2.1. 2.1 exactly. It came with a pair of Vans Simon Woodstock
nice.
Shoes that I got the summer before 7th grade. And it
nice.
Came and it had Descendants and Pennywise and H2O and Rancid and the Joy Killer and I don't know the Humpers, I forget what else was on there. But it was like
yeah.
But it was like okay, I already knew who some of these things were, but there was a bunch of bands that sounded similar and that was the way to do it. It was a lot harder to go from there. You know, because now you had to go out and buy the whole CD to figure out if it was any good. But I like everybody talks about like the division of generations. I use that term loosely, but as far as getting into music,
yeah.
where there's a lot of similarities to it too, and it's just finding something that sounds the same based on something you already like, and doing it in 2004, 2006 is a little different, but kind of the same way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't feel any sort of, elitism towards, like, I don't think my way is better. I don't think
right.
your way is better. I think they're all good. I mean, nowadays, you know, people probably are getting into punk, like, as we speak through, who's that guy? Tommy Gunn. Tommy Gunn guy.
Oh,
Machine
yeah,
Gun
yeah.
Kelly.
Yes,
that's people are probably getting into it
yeah.
that way. And you know what?
Right.
That's fine.
Yeah. No.
It's all good. If that's how it happens, it's totally fine. If they listen to that and then they get on Spotify and they are like, oh, what else was Travis Barker in? And then they find that's
Well, that's,
it's all good. As long as it gets you to the point where you like the music.
If they're going by what else Travis Barker, and that's going to get a little, that can go anywhere. Because, like, all right, so I was never a big Blink-182 guy. I like the Dude Ranch album. There's a couple songs on a couple other albums that I like, but really, they just never a band that I got into. But today, but I always, I give like every new record a fair shot. Like I really do. Every Friday I make a folder on my home screen on my phone and I put new records in there from Spotify. And then I listen to them in their entirety. Today I just got around to listening to Angels and Airwaves, which their new record, which might be the first time I've ever listened to Angels and Airwaves.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fine. I don't like it, but I thought it was fine. But that made me go through the rabbit hole of, like, okay, obviously I know this is a Blink-182 guy. What weren't there other bands? Wasn't there Boxcar Racer? Wasn't there? And then I was like, oh yeah, there's that Plus 44 thing. And then I, like, as I'm looking like through the related artists, like, Jesus Christ, what? And every week there's a new song from other bands with Travis Barker in them. I don't know. I just can't keep up with that guy. I don't know.
Yeah, he is very prolific nowadays.
Yeah. But good for him. Good for him.
He's doing the work.
He started in the Aquabats too, so we got to give him some. You know, he's got his. His street cred. Do Aquabats get street cred?
Yes. They've got Mormon street cred.
What's better? Sure. What's better? Yeah. That's legit right there. When did you start? What was your first show? Concert?
Well, that's just the same answer, unfortunately or fortunately. The first concert I remember going to was Green Day and My Chemical Romance at the Savas Center, which is where the Blues play, I think. It's not called that anymore, though. It's one of those ones that changes names every 5 years or whatever.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So, yeah. But before that, I'm sure I went to other concerts. I just don't remember which.
Right.
What they were.
That makes sense, too. Do you know when you first found your way into, like, the local scene?
Yeah, it must have been in, thinking back, I think it was probably about 2007. I was in a high school band called the Mondales, and we also played through college, which was 2010 is when I started college. So it must have been around 2007 is when I started playing music.
Well, very nice. And then, so you did that, and then who was or was there a big local band for you back then?
Oh, yeah, there is still. There's a local band called the Humanoids. Okay. The Humanoids. They are super good. I actually paid them, my parents paid them to play my 16th birthday party. And they came, they paid them a few hundred dollars, and they came and played in the basement of our McMansion that we had back in the day. It was way too big. It was like pre-housing crash. The house was way too big. And they played it, and it was awesome. Yeah. It was me and all my 15 and 16-year-old friends. Nobody from, like, the scene. So they were, like, they didn't feel like any pressure whatsoever to like do good, and they just killed it. It was awesome. And I got them to cover some random like classic punk songs like Minor Threat and stuff like that, even though they were not straight edge, which is hilarious. And it was great. It was probably one of my favorite concert experiences, and they still bring it up to this day. Oh, they don't play that much, but they're all in other bands because how it is. And they still bring it up.
And they're still playing around down there?
Yeah, in other bands.
Nice. That's awesome. So how long did you do the Mondales?
That was from 2007 to 2000, off and on, 2006.
Okay, so were you doing the same thing that you're doing in Fight Back Mountain, guitar and vocals?
Yeah, but I also wrote the lyrics.
Okay, were the lyrics better now or worse?
That's the only difference. They are way better now.
You're passing with flying colors so far on the...
Yeah, I'm not very in touch with my emotions, or so my therapist says. Hey, so,
cheers to that. Likewise.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you do that for a while. When does Fight Back Mountain become a thing? Become an idea? How about that?
Well, it was an idea that we had in 2017. Me and Angelica, we've been together for a really, really long time, and we wanted to start playing music together because we both played music. She never really played in a band. I did. And she is really, really good at writing lyrics. And I've already said I don't really like to. So I would take her lyrics and start writing songs around them, you know, on the guitar. And it just kind of went off from there. I just took the drummer from the old band, and then I found a bass player eventually, and we made it into a band. And she plays second guitar.
Rhythm guitar. Did you guys have a sound? I mean, obviously, it was some form of punk that you were going to go for, but did you have like other bands that you were thinking about that you wanted to sound like, or was this just going wherever?
Yeah, we were definitely influenced right off the bat by like Jawbreaker, Lawrence Arms, Alkaline Trio, stuff like that. And we also wanted to incorporate some of those kind of ideas with some more like grungy stuff, like Nirvana and like Smashing Pumpkins. So we kind of met in the middle on that. Because the Mondales is a very like straightforward, forward to the floor, like pop punk band. And I like that kind of music, but I didn't want to do that again. Right. So we tried to make it a little bit different.
Nice. Well, it's interesting that you say you had those more, you know, I guess grunge 90s sound in there, because I hear that. I hear that it's not straight up. This is kind of one of the things I wanted to ask you is, what would you classify, if you had to put a genre tag on Fight Back Mountain, what would it be?
I would just say rock.
Okay.
But that's like the most general thing ever. I think a more realistic is probably pop punk. I would probably still call it that. But rock alternative?
No, I
don't know. I think I would maybe go with that.
I like that because I have a huge aversion to pop punk. And usually it's just the vocals. And you guys don't have those vocals. Like, I was listening to Lavender Sky today and thinking, like, what separates this from what I don't like? And I'm like, a lot of it, I mean, it's not all of it, but a lot of it is just your singing is not that high-pitched, like, real. Yeah, no. I can't do it. Like, I've tried with so many of those bands that have been around forever, like, you know, those legacy pop punk bands that I just can't do it. But again, I don't have that issue with you guys. You guys don't. There's enough of that rock in there, and that it doesn't sound like that. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Not that it fucking matters, but just for my own personal thing, like, it makes sense that I like it.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you show any old random person your band that isn't into like this kind of music, and they're gonna say like, I don't know, it sounds like whatever they play on the rock alternative station that exists where you live, right? Like, yeah, around here, it's called 105.7 The Point, but I'm sure wherever you are, there's a
105.7 The X. Yeah.
What? It's the same number?
It used to be 105.7 The Edge, which would go better with your point.
That's nice.
Isn't it usually The Edge, The X, The Point, the
Yeah, whatever. But it's all the same shit. I mean, for real. So I'm allowed to curse, right? Okay, yeah, I've listened to your podcast before, but I just kind of slipped my mind whether or not cursing is normal. But it's the same shit, and like, so I try not to get too elitist about it. And like, oh, we're technically like an orgcore, 90s inspired soft grunge band. It's like, we're a rock alternative.
The problem is, I would know what you meant when you said that, like orgcore, right? Wasn't that punknews.org? Sounding bands, is that what that was?
Yes, it was.
Which I don't know that I ever figured out what that sound was exactly. Was that like Hot Water Music? Yeah.
Yes, that's the band. That's okay. the org band. Yeah,
Hot Water. Who band. I love. Yeah. So I do love.
Yeah, that's cool. Org that's good core. Stuff.
Although I always think of it as Orc Core, which sounds much nerdier. Yeah. But no, you know.
Yeah, that's like power metal or something.
Yeah, the Scandinavian stuff.
Yes.
So one of the things about Fight Back Mountain that I want to know is, what is the name? I don't think I know this yet. What does Fight Back Mountain even mean?
Okay, that's a great question. It's a totally weird origin story for a name for a band. So in St. Louis, there was, it's even less relevant now because it doesn't exist anymore, there was a movie theater chain called Werenberg. Okay. And our bass player at some point when Facebook had like a translate thing, I think they still have that, where you type like a foreign language into the comments and it'll say translate. Well, he typed Werenberg in there, and I guess Facebook thought that this was probably German because it sounds kind of German. But anyway, he clicked translate on Werenberg. Like, he said, I'm going to Werenberg. And it said translate. And it said Fight Back Mountain when he hit translate. And it was like, keeps like a list or something of like good names. And that was one that he was like, hey, we should use this one. And I was like, all right, because naming stuff is hard. And I was like, okay, cool.
Especially naming a band is hard. I bring this up every time I talk to somebody about the name of their band. But my old band, we got a name off of a beer can, you know, because it was because it was just there, and we were playing and trying to figure out a band name, and it was like, all right, well, this is it. So I get it. That's much cooler and a much more interesting way to find a band name.
Yeah, it's much more 21st century. Yeah.
But I like the name too. I like it.
It's too long.
Well, you
if I could go back in time, I would change it.
Well, so you could abbreviate so Mountain, right? So that's, yeah.
MTN.
But you probably do that and then get a lot of questions.
Yeah. Fight back against what? What is the MTN? I don't know. I figure everybody knows what MTN means because Mountain Dew.
That's a good point. You would think that people that don't know what MTN means would know what MTN means because of Mountain Dew. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you would, right. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. But right. They don't. If I could change it, I would change the name to one letter. Like L. It'll be easier to put on stuff. But then again, if you make it too short, here's another thing. If your band name is too short or too generic nowadays, it's really hard to find stuff about your band. It's
incredibly hard. Do you know where I run into a lot of issues with I do this there is this website that exists in the background but not for reality for anybody else but me yet. But it's gettingitout.net. And I've been working on for fucking 2 years, so eventually it should show up somewhere. But I've entered in information for over 700 bands at this point. Like, everybody has their own page. Like, Fightback Mountain has a page.
Oh,
there.
Geez.
It's basically just links to your stuff, but with your picture and a little bio and whatever. But, like, specifically with hardcore bands, because the idea with hardcore bands is usually to have, like, this really generic name. Like, do you know how hard it's to look up Time and Pressure? Like, yeah, you can put Time and Pressure Band, but you're going to get all sorts of weird shit.
Like engineering stuff.
There's a band called The Fight. That's not an easy band to look up, right?
Or like I said, Discharge. If you Google Discharge, you're gonna get some search results there. Right.
So I figured out the way to Google it. Like, you got to Google it and then like put like band music at the end.
Oh, yeah. Well, I promise you, if you Google, I'm going to do it right now. If you Google Fightback Mountain, you do not have to type band.
I don't think you do.
It comes right up.
There you go. That's what you need. That's what more. Well, just another example. I did this band down in Atlanta called Satisfied. And I had Satisfied on the podcast. Okay. And to Google Satisfied, we're going to get all sorts of good stuff. But anyway.
How to keep your partner satisfied.
But so Fightback Mountain, it's a good name. I like it. Been around since 2017-ish. You have Times Beach that came out before.
18-ish.
Incubated. Yeah. The conception started in 2017. It was birthed in 2018, I guess we can say, right?
Yes. It's like an elephant. It takes a while to actually pop out.
So Times Beach came out about 2 years ago, like 2019, I want to say. And that's a pretty quick turnaround for a debut album, for a full length. Was that stuff that was written specifically for Fightback Mountain, or did you bring those songs from elsewhere?
So most of it was actually written specifically for Fightback Mountain. There was two songs that were Mondale songs that I had her write new lyrics but I kept the basic melodies and stuff. So basically she took my old Mondale's lyrics and made them her own and added stuff to them. But that was just two songs, and those songs were Birdhouses and Nosedive off of the first album. But everything else was written and prepared just for Fightback.
Nice. Well, like I said, that's a pretty quick turnaround for a full length. And to have basically your sophomore album out now, 3 years into being a band officially, that's pretty quick. Am I doing math right? Is that right? 2018? Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. 2018,
19. Yeah. Something like
yeah, 22, whatever. Yeah. What year is it? I don't even remember.
With your new record, Lavender Sky, how long was this thing in the works?
Well, it's funny. Actually, the first song that we wrote for this one was Fatima, and it was actually going to be on the first one. But we didn't feel comfortable enough. Like, it was too fast of a... We would have had to go into the studio and do it right away, like a week or two after learning it. So it's been in the works since before the first one came out, I guess, in a way. So a while, but we pruned the songs down to the 12, with the one bonus track. If you buy it on Bandcamp, there's a special bonus track that you get with the download. So it's technically like 13, but it's 12. There were some songs that we wanted to put on there and we, you know, tested out and everything. So getting it down to the 12, I really wanted to keep it under 40 minutes. I think it's exactly like 39 minutes and 30 seconds, right, or something like that, or maybe right at 40. I wanted to keep it relatively short, although, you know, we are a rock alternative, air quotes, band. So our songs are like 3 minutes long. But I wanted to keep it short and get it down there. So we really took our time on this one. And I think it shows on the final product, or at least I hope so.
No, for sure. I think so. You mentioned Fatima. That came, and I think you posted something today about how you released that song about a year ago. And I know you've had a couple other songs come out as, I don't know if you want to call them singles or what, but Die Young.
Yeah, and, singles.
Yeah,
fine.
Die Young is one of them. What was the other one? Uncle Mero. Was any of it?
And then
so you've had those four songs come out in the past year. What's the reaction or feedback been that you've called so far?
The feedback's been really good on those ones, honestly, so far, and I'm pretty happy with it. We were able to get a decent, you know, for a band of our size, we were able to get a decent number of streams on all those ones. And, you know, people seem to like them when we play them out. People like, you know, that come to the shows around here know the words to them and stuff, which is cool. I would say the reaction is probably better than, because the first time when we released the first album, we just kind of threw it out there. We didn't do like singles. And I think nowadays you really need to do like lead up to an album. It's not like it used to be where you could just be like, oh, album's coming out in a month and then put it out. I mean, nowadays with the algorithm and all that stuff that I bothers me, you got to do like lead up. Like you got to drop little things here and there to keep people interested and engaged.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And it sounds like we might have the same opinion. I think it sucks to have to do it that way, but I understand why it needs to be done that way. I'm an album person. I don't listen to playlists, even though I make a playlist to put out there, because I know that's what's way a lot of people like to consume them. I want to listen to the album front to back. That's like I said, when I make those weekly folders where I listen to every album in there front to back, even if I'm a quarter into it and I think it sucks, I'm just gonna get through it. But when I do love a record, a band, I want to listen to the whole album. And it was interesting that today, where I just heard for today the first time the whole Lavender Sky record, and there were songs like Fatima and Die Young, who I think are back to back tracks, if I remember the track list correctly.
I think you're
and
right.
And it was like, I got to that part, and I was like, I am like really familiar with those two songs by now. You know what I mean? Because they've been on my radar for a long time. And then I don't mind that, of course. That's fine. But it's almost like, for my preferences, to have it all be new at once. But I understand, like, it totally makes sense to not be, like, you know, like you said, the way that music gets released.
Yeah.
Now, you can't do that.
Yeah. And I'm on the same page as you. Like, I wish that it could just all be new all at the same time. And, you know, there'd be like a big lead up and an anticipation and stuff, but you know, it's just not like that, because in order to keep people in order to stay on the radar, you got to stay in their algorithm on social media. And in order to do that, you need to give them little breadcrumbs. Right. And social media companies, they pay you off in terms of engagements and stuff by giving people breadcrumbs instead of a whole loaf of bread all at once.
They don't even give a piece of the bread. And it's funny. I'm sure you see it, because I see it with, if I dare click on analytics buttons for any of the podcast social media stuff, which I try not to, because it's just frustrating to look at here's how many people saw this. Like, motherfucker, I know how many people follow it, I know how many people you showed it to. Like, it's not even like, just put it in the regular flow. Like, I don't need to be put at the top, just put it in there, make it possible to see. But no, they don't do that. And it's gotta be even worse just as bad for musicians, especially when you are dropping an album, where it's like I do this every week, so I don't care. Whatever. If 1 week doesn't go over well, I don't. It's just there's another one next week, right? This is like this week was 192, right? like it's yeah. whatever. But your whole thing is something that you worked hard on for a really long time that you can't afford to have it. Well, you can, but you don't want to have it just being passed over. So you're right. You need to do these singles. You need to do breadcrumbs and whatever. I guess that's the way it is. It sucks a little.
Yeah. It is different. I would say it's worse, but a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's just the difference.
Of I don't know if I'm the old man yelling at the cloud or what, but you know, but that's.
Yeah. Old man yells at cloud symptoms. Right.
But okay. Yeah. So how much of Lavender Sky has been handled by you and the other band members in Fight Back Mouth from the, like, what'd you guys do? Are you releasing this on your own?
We're actually releasing it in a partnership with a local record store called The Record Space. Very cool record store in South St. Louis. If you're ever in the area, anybody that's listening to this, you should go check it out. He's got, like, a record label, which is called The Record Label because it's The Record Space. And we did a split of basically split some of the costs and stuff. So we're kind of partnered with him on that. And he does reissues of various things with his label and puts out releases for other local bands and stuff too. And we mentioned Time and Pressure. I think he did a reissue of their latest album with different art that you can only get at his store. So we basically came to an agreement that we would split some of the costs and we would also share in some of the profits if there, you know, or some of the trying to recoup right. our losses, I should say.
I gotcha. Well, as far as that's a very cool way to do it. As far as the artwork looks, is it done by the same person that did Times Beach?
Yes. Angelica does most of, if not all of our artwork. Angelica is a graphic designer. So we have an expert in that in the band, which is really nice. A lot of times bands will Google like an old movie poster and just put their band name on it. And we don't have to do that, which is nice for posters and stuff. Our posters aren't like a picture of a guy like lifting weights in a skull. I guess it could be, which would be sweet. But we have a graphic designer who does all this stuff for free, essentially. And she likes to do it. So she like was totally on board with making the album covers and she designs the shirts and pretty much everything you see, the little logo that we've got, that she did.
All right, I thought that might be the case. That's why I asked, because there's a lot of uniformity throughout all your graphics, all your visual stuff, the flyers, the album, both album covers. They all look like the same artist did them. So I was gonna guess that it was somebody in your band, and that's why I would say it. And I didn't see anything with the releasing with the record store, so I assumed you were doing some self-release stuff. So, and this is what I'm getting. So this is Lavender Sky. Seems like it's a lot of it is an in-house product. Did you have somebody else produce the record, or did you guys handle that yourselves as well?
Produce. So we had Don, who's the owner of the Record Space, sat in on most of the recordings, although COVID got in the way of that a little bit towards the end. And the person who recorded, engineered, mastered it, did a little bit of producing too, is Gabe Usury, who did the who also did Times Beat. He runs Encapsulate, or he doesn't run it, but he's like one of the guys at Encapsulated Studios, which is a nice recording studio in St. Louis.
Cool. So it sounds like if it's not in house as far as in the band, it's at least local in St. Louis. Everything. Is there anything about Lavender Sky that was kind of outsourced?
No, I don't think so.
Good. That's
no. Now that you mentioned it, I don't think so.
And I don't know why how I got that impression, but I think maybe because there's not. It looks like and feels like this is something that you guys are doing on your own, and I mean that in the way you're presenting it seems like this is Fight Back Mountain's Fight Back Mountain record. It's not somebody else trying to make a buck on it or whatever. It's just you guys doing it because you want to do it and because you love doing it. And I think it's
shows. And that's Totally accurate.
Okay, so you mentioned COVID. How much did that play a part in this record? Or did, positive or negative?
Quite a bit. So we were supposed to do a tour and play a bunch of shows in 2020, and that didn't happen. The first recording session for the album, in which we recorded Fatima, Uncle Amaro, a bunch of other ones, like half the record basically, was in February 2020. Ding dong.
Yeah.
Coming up. So it was like February 25th.
Yeah, right on the door.
And then right on the doorstep. Yep. And then, and I remember like going in that weekend, this is because there was like a couple of days in between, and I was like, I was already kind of like, oh, I don't know. And so then there was a long break. It was probably a few months where we couldn't really do band practice. Not really. And we couldn't really finish the record either because I had all these songs that we were supposed to do and we couldn't practice them. So therefore we couldn't record them. And it was a big hassle. And then after a few months, I think we started practicing again in like June or maybe like May. We hit the ground running like super hard. It definitely wasn't May. I think it was June. We hit the ground running and we were able to take some of the songs that we were originally going to do for the second half and then some new ones that in a way was a benefit because I was, you know, like everybody else, locked up inside. So I had a lot of time to write new material and perfect the other material that we were going to record. So there was a few songs that were they wouldn't have happened if not for COVID, for better or worse. And some of those are the song Auld Lang Syne, which is the second to last song on the album. That was about the quarantine stuff. So obviously that wouldn't have happened. And then the song Here Come the Pretzels, which is the ending song, which is my personal favorite on the album, was a song that I wrote the guitar part to in quarantine and Angelica wrote the lyrics in quarantine too. So there's a couple of the ones towards the end where they wouldn't have happened at all if not for
COVID. It's that's why I asked because it's and that's why I said was there a negative or positive effect because it sounds like there was a negative effect that ended up bringing some positives out of it. Is and I feel like a lot of bands have been through this where it gave them more time to hash out shit and figure out their song. I feel like there are quite a few people that I talk to that squandered the opportunity, but you know, it was whatever, you know, do whatever you want in this, whatever it was called. But I think it's interesting the people that were able to keep the song in the incubator a little longer and come out with something better, or make something different.
Yeah, I like that analogy because I definitely think that had we had just waited a couple months and then like if it was a normal year and we did the first recording session, and then a couple months later we did the second one, the album probably wouldn't have been as good as I think it turned out because it would have had different songs on it that maybe weren't as solid. It would just been different. Maybe it would have been better, but I think it just would have been different. And I like the way it came out. So I'm kind of accustomed to saying, or kind of inclined to say, I should say that I think it actually did help the quality of the record a little bit, as much as I don't want to admit it.
I can tell you one thing for it being two different recording sessions, I didn't notice.
Gabe is a really good engineer. Can you tell?
I mean, other than the fact that you know.
No, yeah. Not really.
That's good. That is very good. So this record officially comes out, when is it, October 15th? Is that going to get like the full digital, like, so it'll be, I mean, you guys seem like you've got a pretty good handle of this. That'll be available streaming everywhere.
Yeah. It'll be on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, all the streaming services, but then it'll also be on our Bandcamp. If you want to toss us a download, it'll be up there. We also sell vinyls and CDs through our Bandcamp. So it'll be available everywhere, all on the same day.
And it looks like you already have the records in hand, right?
So I do. They're in that.
That's awesome. Did that impact your release date at all? Was it around when you could? Because I know vinyl pressings have been a motherfucker.
Yes, they have been. So Yeah, so originally we were going to release the album in June, and obviously that right. didn't happen. And we kept pushing it back because part of it was because I have the thought that, you know, we're a smaller band working with a limited audience. If there's, you know, let's say, I think right now we have like 400 monthly listeners, which is pretty good for us. if we have like 400 monthly listeners, like maybe like 100 of those, if we're lucky, we'll buy a record, yeah. right? So we need to increase the size of our audience and stuff like that. And that comes with time, of course, playing shows when you can. And my thought process was, okay, so there's these 100 people or so, maybe 200, that would buy one. If you tell them, hey, it's streaming, and then buy the record later,
yeah,
maybe that number goes down to 50 or 75. And it's too expensive of an endeavor to just kind of poop out there. So I was like, let's just wait until we have the record. And then it got pushed to July and August and then September. And then I sat down with Don and said, if we don't get them in the middle of September, we're just going to drop it in the middle of October because that's my favorite month, because Halloween, rock on. And if we don't have the records, then we'll deal with it then. But by that point that I made that ultimatum that it has to come out by the middle of October, it's been mastered since February, you know, and it's been done since February of this year. And we've had the CDs since July.
Yeah.
So, or maybe even earlier than that. So it's been a long time that we've had all this stuff, except for the vinyls. But the vinyls it's important to me, and it's important to Angelica and Don. So I said, screw it. We're putting it out October 15th. If we don't have the vinyls, then whatever. At this point,
yeah.
whatever. But we had them. So it kind of worked out. Because I don't like the idea of releasing music too late in the year.
You get forgotten
I
feel like about. People kind of yeah. ignore never it. Too early, never too late. Yeah. You got to be... It's like you got to be between October and March, like, or March, October, I guess. You got to be in there. Otherwise you get forgotten yeah. about or missed, kind of, you know?
And I don't want to sound like a D-bag or anything, but like it can't make it into best ofs if you put yeah, it out yeah. too late.
No, it's,
you know, I don't want to say presume anything, yeah, no, but it can't. Right?
Yeah, you're totally taking it off the table for those sorts of things if you're too late. And it's interesting that, like,
yeah.
the how you're talking about releasing the record without the vinyl available, because we all know vinyl is really the only physical thing that actually sells. I mean, I know people buy CDs, myself included, but records are the thing that's going to sell the most. And I've seen with two of my friends' bands, I think it was last year, both released records digitally, and then later did the vinyl, and it worked out incredible for one of them, and it didn't
really?
Work out at all for the other. Yeah, it worked out for one guy so well that he sold out of that first copy, and then one of the biggest labels in the world signed him and is going to reissue the same record in the same year, you know, worldwide. Century Media, you know, which is like the biggest metal labels in the world, is going to reissue. Like, so it worked out so well for one, and then the other one is like, I wish I never did it. Like, you know, so I think you made the right call.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It was just painful to have the Google Drive folder laughing at me, being like, nobody can hear this. Yeah. So, but now that it's out there and it's all uploaded and it's ready to go, it feels good.
Good. So you mentioned, or maybe you didn't, but it sounded like you were talking about touring, building an audience. What are any future plans for Fight Back Mountain as of the record release?
So we want to do a 5-date tour or something like that. It's just a matter of getting it set up. And, I think we're probably going to wait until the Delta stuff chills out a little bit to start touring that, or I should say booking that. But it's just one of those things where we really want to do it, but we want to make sure it gets done right. And we don't want to half-ass it because that's just not our style. And right now that entails waiting because, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. So we definitely plan on doing a tour though at some point. And just trying to play... Like, we try and limit it to, like, one show a month.
Right, especially local, yeah.
And Yeah, you know, once a month. And we plan on doing that. We're doing a record release show on the 16th, if you're in the
area. I won't be, but this will be out the Monday before that. So that's where I have it on the schedule. So please do say where it is.
Yes. Yeah, if you're out, if you're in St. Louis or, I don't know, Carbondale, Illinois or something, and you feel like driving over. And then we have a show coming up with a couple touring bands called The Slow Death and Arms Aloft. And that's coming up. I'm going to look it up so I don't get the date wrong. You can cut this part. So we have a show coming up, too, with the touring bands The Slow Death, Arms Aloft, and then another local band called Grave Neighbors. And that comes it's coming up on November 8th. I thought it might have been the 9th, but it's November 8th. So we've got a few shows planned, and we want to do a tour. But, I mean, you know, stuff's kind of up in the air. It's kind of weird. So that's kind of where we're at.
Take your time. It seems to be working. The record, like I said, I only just listened to it in the entirety today, but it's great. It's better than Times Beach.
Thank you.
I like Times Beach, and it's better than that. Some of those songs that you released already, like I said, I already know them. Like, I've listened to them enough time. Like, nobody's making me listen to these fucking songs. I guess that's specifically like Fatima. I think that song's great, and I know it very well, and that's because I've listened to it a lot, right? And I'm not just kissing your ass here. I'm not just making something up, you know. I think you guys write good songs,
right?
And everything that you've done so far, I've enjoyed. And I'm glad we finally got to do this. We talked about doing this for a while, and I guess we kept pushing it back because of, I don't know, maybe it was the record release. I don't know.
Well, might as well do it when the record's coming out, right?
Makes way more sense. Yeah. All right. Well, Adrian, thanks for finally doing this.
Thank you.
not something I can buy. I'm left with the pieces, and all I can do is sigh. Lost among the messiahs, waiting for a lavender sky. A stab in the night, and I'm not coming up. Made this decision, and it's all my own. Met the energy, chose to ignore it. Voices calling through the static, a stray in the night. And I'm not coming up. Made this decision, and it's all my own. Met the energy, chose to ignore it. Voices calling through the static.
That was Lavender Sky by Fight Back Mountain, the title track off of their new album, Lavender Sky. Go order that right now. I believe you can go to their Bandcamp page and get that. I want to thank Adrian again for taking the time to have the conversation. I'm sorry it was a little messed up. But I don't know if I put it in there, but we talked before a little bit, and he had mentioned that he had done another podcast before, and that episode got ruined too. So I didn't want to throw this one out. So hopefully the overlapping wasn't too unbearable and you were all able to get through it. But most importantly, you checked out the songs Fatima and Lavender Sky at the beginning and end of the interview, and you are going to go check out the entire record, Lavender Sky, right now, wherever you so please. I guess you can't check it out right now because it's Monday and it doesn't come out till Friday, but you know what I mean. Okay. But yeah, that'll be mostly it for this week's episode. Again, for the fifth time, thanks, Adrian, for doing this. And yeah, thank you for listening, if you're still listening. I always appreciate the people that stick around to the end. I'm not sure how many people do. I'm not sure how many people actually listen to the songs. I'm not sure how many people do the intro, do the outro. I don't know. I don't look at that type of stuff. I don't care at this point, okay? I'm getting close to 200 episodes here, and I stopped worrying about a lot of it at this point. I'm just doing what I do, okay? If you listen the whole way through or at all, that's up to you. And I appreciate it. But hey, and if you do, hey, let me know. That'd be nice. But you don't have to. You can go give a rating and review on whatever podcast listening platform of your choice. But you don't have to do that. You're not going to do that anyway. So I know better. And that's okay. I get it. I'm trying to step back a little bit, just lower my expectations, which I've done, naturally over the years. But I'm coming up on finishing 4 years of this thing. So I know what to expect at this point. And I'm just happy that sometimes people listen. And when I look at when I do look at the analytics and I see that people literally listen all over the world, that blows my mind. I do not understand that. And I'm glad you do, though. Let's end this with a song from Illudium. They have an album coming out this week as well. It's not coming out on Friday for some reason. It's coming out October 15th. Huh. Is that Friday? I don't think so. Right? Let's look at the calendar here. No, that is in fact Friday. Have I been saying other dates wrong on this episode? But it's quite possible. Lavender Sky by Fight Back Mountain comes out October 15th, I think. Right? Or no, did he say October 18th? I'm not sure. I don't remember. But it comes out sometime within the next week. How about that? And this album, Ash of the Womb from Illudium, comes out October 15th. It's coming out on Prophecy Production Records. Well, they say Prophecy Productions, but I'm going to say Records. I'm going to add Records to the end of that. They call it Dark Dream Gaze. Somebody does. Their promo people do, at least. And I listen to it and I like it. This song has a video as well. It's called Semper Virens. Let me try this again. Semper Virens. Semper Virens. Semper Virens? I don't know. You can check it out. There's a YouTube video for it. There is all sorts of stuff for this band, and they are pretty damn cool. And it's nice, relaxing vibe. So let's end it on that. Again, this is Illudium off of their album, Ash of the Womb. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.